Well, I'll tell you, I just got so many things to share with you today, I just don't think I can get to them all today. We'll just preach right into this afternoon and maybe on into this evening. But in your life today, you have had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you talk about revelation. When you say, well, I don't think I'm somebody that's really had a revelation from God. Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have had a revelation from God. You have had an experience with the Lord God that has changed your life. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You have been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Through your faith. Your faith transports you into the spiritual world. Your faith transports you over the things that you're dealing with in this life. Your faith transports you from the here and now to the there and what's going to happen in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the title of this sermon is that you are transported by your faith. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 today. We are studying Ephesians and Christian Ed. I encourage you to come out and join us for that because it is so very, very rich. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you who he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What a beautiful picture of our life in the Lord Jesus today is given through this scripture today. In verse 10, yes, I am created by God and for God. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Yes, I am created by God and for God. Designed in your life is a God plan and a God purpose. And are you living to that God plan and that God purpose he has for your life? We say, what is the plan? The plan is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What is his purpose? For you to tell others about your faith in Jesus. Everybody is born on this earth. God has created you for such a time as this, to be here on this earth at this time to live your life for Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 and 20, it says, "We are not our own, that we have been bought for a price." The born-again experience came at a cost. That new life that you have in Jesus didn't come free. It cost the life of the only begotten of God so you could have life and you could have eternal life today. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "But you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Now verse 3, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace that you have been saved. No longer do I walk according to my old way of thinking. No longer do I walk according to my old nature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're very familiar with, it says that we are new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Look at what it says here in chapter 2 and verse 6. In verse 6 it says this, and raised us together, up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today, you and I are spiritually seated with Christ. Not only do I have the spiritual benefits of being seated with Christ, not only the benefit of new life, not only the benefit that I have the powers over the powers of darkness, but also the benefit of a new way of thinking that is in my life. I am to no longer walk in the flesh. I am to no longer think in the flesh, but to walk and think after life in the Spirit. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. We walked in the flesh and we thought in the flesh. Did you catch what I said a minute ago? We are to walk and think after life in the Spirit. Look what it says here. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace that you have been saved. So we walked according, or we walked after the things of the flesh, and now it is telling us that now that you are a new creation, now that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're supposed to walk after the things of the Spirit. Too many Christians are chasing after life in the flesh and are not chasing after life in the Spirit. I've been born again, but I'm still chasing after the things in life. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm still chasing after the things that are in this life, in this world, in this flesh, and as long as you do that, you will always be dragged right back down into the ugliness of the world, because we have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Brother and sister, we need to take a seat there, and we need to stay there in our life that we have in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. John 10:10, you're very familiar with. Jesus promises what? Not only eternal life, but he also promises what? Life abundantly. I came that you might have life, life abundantly. You may today have the new life part, but do you have the abundant living part? Saints, if you are born again, but still chasing after life in the flesh, you will never have abundant living. In 1 Peter 1:8, it talks about that the Word of God through the Spirit offers us a joy that is unspeakable and that is full of glory. The flesh offers us what? Sorrow and heartache. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And verse 8 says this, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life of Jesus, who may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For one, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I know that's a lot of words, but look at verse 8 again. Verse 8 says this: we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Now think about the obstacles. I want you to think about the obstacles that you are facing in life, the challenges that you are facing in life. Sometimes they are crushing and how they feel on each and every one of us. But listen to what the words of the Apostle Paul says: we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. How can I go through the ugliness of life and not be perplexed? How can I not be crushed? How can I not let it destroy me? The answer is found in this passage of Scripture in verse 18. Now, when you look at verse 18, he says this: while we do not look at the things which are seen. I'm not walking in the flesh. I'm not looking at the flesh. I'm not talking about the flesh. I am in the Spirit, and I'm going to keep myself in the Spirit of the living God today. So in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. So that's the answer. And you may think, well, what kind of answer is that? We all have five senses: sight, hearing, smell, and touch, and taste. The brain interprets these signals from the five senses, which creates our perception of the world and life. A born-again believer that is still walking in the flesh does this. From that perception of life in the flesh, they respond in the flesh. So your senses gather all this information in the physical. Then you create your own perception of what is actually going on in the world around you. So by the time that you get out of bed, and I know you've all been there, so that by the time that you get out of bed in the morning, after you looked at your text messages, after you're dealing with the things that you had the calls from last night, when you're dealing with the family issues, before you even get out of bed, your day is ruined, and maybe you're weak, and maybe some of us feel like our life is ruined at the same time. But in verse 18, he reveals to us Paul's success in life. This sense that he is talking about here, it is not a physical perception of the world, but it is a spiritual perception of the world. No matter what goes on in my life, no matter what I'm dealing with in this life today, Jesus has got this. I just need to keep my seat in heaven. Amen. Keep your seat. The Lord is going to bring the victory. Does it mean that bad things go away? No, it does not mean that bad things go away. But having an eternal perspective puts them in a place in my life where they need to be. You need to order them where they need to be placed in order in your life so they do not consume you. Your eyes need to be focused on Jesus. Last week we talked about the scripture in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. They shall not walk. They shall not become weary. They shall take up wings as eagles. Doing what? You will soar over your problems in the spirit, but you will walk in them in the flesh. But you can soar over them things in your life. Yes, I can be perplexed, but not in despair. I can be persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11. You're all very so familiar with Hebrews. We look at it so much, but we go back to it today, and I want to give you a fresh perspective on it. When you look at Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read verse 1 to you, and it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read that again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the ability, listen to me, now faith is the ability of the soul to perceive things not revealed to the senses. You know, over the years, I've had a lot of people that say, well, what made you decide to be a preacher? And I would say, well, I just feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you look in their eyes, and they're not with you no more. And you can hear the rhythm or the song of the Twilight Zone that's going off in their head. When somebody asks you about your life in Jesus, you say, well, I've been born again. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And once again, they just look at you because they do not understand. The reason they do not understand is because they are walking in the flesh. I did not understand when I was walking in the flesh, and I did not understand until I had that spiritual revelation that took place in my life. That revelation is when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are spiritual things not known to the world, the unbelieving world in which we live in? Because they are spiritually discerned. You're supposed to use your faith, come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and He will show you the mysteries of life, and He will open up your spiritual understanding. Church, your spiritual understanding needs to be opened up in faith and walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Don't focus on the things that are around you. Keep your face in your eyes focused in heaven. Keep your seat with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith transcends or transports us to the spiritual realm. Ephesians 2 said what? Because of our new life, we are seated with Jesus. Well, what does it say in Colossians? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, seek those things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on this earth. So now listen to me. Number one, faith lifts us into the realm of the future. You get that? If you note takers, write that down. Faith lifts us into the realm of the future. Look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. Are you seated in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you are. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to see yourself taking a seat with Jesus. Sometimes when I pray, I just put myself in my mind right before the throne of God, and I'm just praying to the Lord at that point, in that time. I know I've never been to heaven. I've never seen the streets of gold. But I know that someday Pastor Leo's got a mansion in the sky. I know that I'm going to walk on the streets of gold because my faith transports me into the spiritual realm. Faith lifts us into the realm of the future. The future. Number two. Faith carries us into the invisible. In other words, assurance of what we do not see. You know you're saved. His spirit bears witness with it, your spirit, that you are a child of God. And nobody's going to take that away from you, and nobody's going to discourage you that you're not saved, because His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. My faith gives me the assurance of what I do not see. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, what? Not knowing where he was going. You've heard me say that the last couple weeks. We're going to have a school. God's going to make sure we have a school. We're going to have that school full of kids. We're going to build on a brand new sanctuary, and that sanctuary is going to be full with brand new people that's going to come to the house of the Lord because they need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to start praying that. You need to start believing that. And you know what? In your prayer, you need to start seeing it. He goes on to say, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And he waited for the city which has foundations, which builder and maker is God. This place is not our home. Heaven is our home. He is the builder of that place. Verse 6, it tells us that without faith we cannot please God. When you accepted Christ, the truth of God's word was just as real to you as the chair that you are sitting in. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and my salvation, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, it's just as real, my salvation that I have in Jesus, as this table that is sitting here right now. Because my faith sees it. My faith experiences. The Holy Spirit is my guarantee. I feel the presence of the Lord. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. This world cannot have victory over you because you have victory over the world. The truth of heaven is just as real to you as that chair you're sitting in. My calling, my salvation, answered prayer. Faith makes the invisible visible. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We're about done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. In 5 and verse 7, it says this: For we walk by faith, not by sight. If you today are only walking in the five senses, that is reporting to your brain what you're dealing with and what you're experiencing in life, you will never have abundant living. By faith, you rise yourself above those things. But if you are walking in the Spirit, transported by your faith, you will live abundantly. Through the trials of life, keep your seat. When you're seated with the Lord Jesus, nobody can take you out of the palm of his hand. The word says, no one can pluck you out of my hand. You belong to Jesus. This world is not going to do anything to you. You've got victory over the world through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can transport myself from here. Remember the old Star Trek show? Beam me up, Scotty. I have the chance to beam myself up and renew myself every day in the Spirit of the living God. I renew myself through the Word, and I renew myself for the Spirit. You can't walk through the drudgery and the dirt of this world and not be affected by it if you're not renewing yourself. So next week we're going to talk about that renewal process that each and every one of us need. Yesterday's manna is yesterday's manna. You can't keep it over and you can't hold it over because it rots and it spoils. You need a fresh touch from the living God each and every day of your life, and you get that new touch, that fresh touch from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. Involve yourself in the Word. Involve yourself in the Word of God. Let Him renew you so the obstacles in life don't drag you down, but you pull them up through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless these people. Father, I hate to see where I feel that the adversary is wrecking haywire in their life and in their family. Father, we're taking authority over it through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I may be pressed down, but I am not crushed. I know that you are my maker. I know, that you are my Lord and Savior. Lord, lift us up. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us touch not only Knoxville, let us touch not only Attica, let's touch Marion County for the gospel of Jesus Christ by us walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We praise you forevermore, Father. You have blessed our lives so much. I pray that, Father, over this congregation, as we go our separate ways, that your hand would be upon each and every one of us. I pray over these families today. I pray that, Father, you would open the windows of heaven and you pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them today. I ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, God bless you all. Have a great day and a great week.